Notice what it says there in the center, habits 1 through 7. Why? Because the 7 habits are what you are. The 4 roles are what you do. Okay, now let me ask you a question. See how well you understand this. Why would you have modeling at the center? Why would you have the 7 habits at the center? Why not pathfinding? That's the most important decision. Modeling is how you live. Show what you are as a person. And if you model a complementary team and trustworthy behavior,
then you are going to teach that.
You're going to teach that? Okay, how are you going to get these people in alignment with the strategic criteria, the pathfinding? Okay, if you model it first, but you have to come up with strategic criteria sufficiently strong that they will organize the structures and systems in new ways. Ways that are contrary to their cultural DNA. They have to buy into that. Where are people going to get enough social will to change a deeply established compensation system? Where? Where are they going to get the willpower to change a compensation system that is dysfunctional, that rewards competition instead of cooperation? Where are they going to get the willpower to go along with a balanced report card instead of just financial accounting? Okay, ultimately the marketplace will drive it. And if you don't have Indian talking stick type of communication to produce third alternatives, it'll be nothing but war and fight and everything else. And it's the same thing with mergers, the same thing with strategic partnerships. You're bringing together cultural DNAs. And it is tough. And until you really deeply buy into the strategic criteria, what helps people to buy into criteria? Communication, until they themselves help create it. When you are involved, you will own it. Until you're involved, you will not own it. Unless your identification, so let's say I'm the leader, formal leader, unless you identify so much with me that my vision becomes your vision. As in Gandhi's case, his vision of an independent India so transcended the vision of the people, but they trusted him so much because of the sacrifices he made for them that they bought his vision. It was like they created it himself. Identification is as powerful a process as involvement. If you have a high enough trust. And do you know where Gandhi learned this? How to produce a third alternative? I listened to his granddaughter give this speech about 1.5 years ago, where he learned this. How to go for synergy instead of win-lose, fight, or lose-win, flight. Ironically, if it hadn't have been for racism and prejudice, we may not have had a Gandhi. I wouldn't be here standing and talking to you about my grandfather. He may have been just another successful lawyer who had made a lot of money. But because of prejudice in South Africa, he was subjected to humiliation within a week of his arrival. He was thrown off a train because of the color of his skin, and it humiliated him so much that he sat on the platform of the station all night, wondering what he could do to gain justice. His first response was one of anger. See, that's win-lose. He was so angry, he wanted eye-for-eye justice. He wanted to respond violently to the people who humiliated him. But he stopped himself and said, "That's not right. It was not going to get him justice. It might have made him feel good for the moment, but it wasn't going to get him any justice." The second response was to go back to India and live among his own people in dignity. He ruled that out also. He said, "You can't run away from problems." See, that's flight. You've got to stay and face the problems. And that's when the third response dawned on him, the response of nonviolent action. From that point onwards, he developed the philosophy of nonviolence and practiced it in his life, as well as in his search for justice in South Africa. He ended up staying in that country for 22 years, and then he went on and led the movement of India. One of the most beautiful things you'll see in the movie Gandhi is a time when he and his wife were really not getting on. And she refused to clean the latrine in this ashram in South Africa. And she said, "I am your wife. See, you're the leader. I'm your wife. That is beneath me." She didn't say that, but she said, "But I am your wife." And he said, "You do it with joy or not at all?" She said to him, "Not at all." Then he said, "You're not worthy to even be here." And he physically threw her out of the house. "Get out. You're not even worthy to be in this." And he realized. Then she turned to him and said, "What are you doing? I am your wife." Then he went to his conscience and said, "Oh my goodness, what am I doing? I'm using a method that violates the end I'm after. Ends and means are inseparable. You'll never accomplish a worthy end with an unworthy means." That was the reasoning he went through in his mind. And then he said to her, "I apologize." In real humility. And then he said, "I must go to my work." And she said, "And I must go and clean the latrine." Then it immediately goes to a public situation. See, the concept is that private victories precede public victories. He went in front of 1,000 Indian people. The South African government, run by the Afrikaners, the white minority that controlled everything politically and economically, had just passed a law which had allowed them to go into the dwellings as they wanted of the Indian people, and that unless they could come up with certain documentation, their wives were considered whores. And here you see the government officials right down there, three of them. Two policemen and then the Indian official. Gandhi stands up and says, "We have just had a law passed that makes all of your wives whores." You know, and you could just feel the anger and the violence and so forth. And they're looking at these people down here, and they're just stern like this. And then people would stand up and say, "You know, we're going to take them on, we're going to do this." "No, we will do nothing. They know that is wrong. We will do nothing. They will beat us. We will do nothing. But they will do this because..." And his reasoning and his moral authority was so strong that they stood up, every person, to sustain. And it showed what they had to undergo. And a few more incidents like that over a period of years. He shows up in London at the big conference, and the people, "Why is he here? He's not elected. He's not a delegate." Everyone knew he was the articulate voice and soul of India. They knew that. And they give independence to this country. One time he's fasting to keep them from killing the soldiers. And he's gone for several days, and his associates worry about his health, plead with him to take nourishment. And he said, "Has the killing stopped?" "Everywhere but in two areas." He'll continue the fast. And then, finally, they said, "It stopped." And he ends his fast. He would fast to heal religious divisions between the Muslims and the Hindus. It's just so strong, this man's moral authority. He was assassinated, as was Anwar Sadat. We had Mr. Sadat at our international symposium, and I said, when he took that bold peace initiative to go to the Knesset in Jerusalem, what'd you think of that? She said, I could not believe it. Total reversal of all he'd been saying around the country. I'll never shake the hand of an Israeli as long as they occupy 1 inch of Arab soil. Never, never, never. And people would chant, never, never, in this macho, nationalistic, strong way, see. He learned this in Cell 54 as a young man. She said to him, you will lose the support of the Arab world. I don't think so, but that could happen. You will lose the presidency of your country. I don't think so, but that too could happen. You will lose your life. And he said, my life is ordained. One won't be 1 minute longer or shorter than it was ordained to be. That was his personal faith. She embraced him and said, you're the greatest man I've ever known. He subordinated his EQ to his SQ. He went to the Knesset, came back the same day. I said, what was it like when he came back? She said, he was met by hundreds of thousands of people. It took over three hours to get to the palace where we live, normally a half hour, cheering him, the same people who were cheering the opposite. Now, that is moral leadership. The same people. A mother came to Gandhi one time and said, would you talk to my son to get off sugar? The doctor says it's so bad for him. He said, oh, I don't know. A simple thing, just say to him, he would do it. Talk to me in a couple of weeks. 2 weeks later, the mother came and said, would you talk to him now? I will. He went to the boy. The boy agreed. The mother said, why didn't you talk with him 2 weeks ago? Ma'am, 2 weeks ago, I too was on sugar. Another great movie to rent and to study carefully with your family is Man for All Seasons. Both of them won Pictures of the Year. Powerful.